want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, and on this Christmas Eve, I've asked my daughter Valerie, who is here in the studio with me, to read a true Christmas story. It was written way back in 1943 and published in a little magazine of which my father happened to be the editor. It was called the Sunday School Times. It's by Irma Warner Hill, who happened to be the mother of my old history teacher at Hampton DuBose Academy in Florida. And Miss Dorothy Hill, the daughter of this author, sent me this story not very long ago called The Fifth Sparrow, and I thought it was just a lovely Christmas story, and I thought you would like to hear Valerie read that.
Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Father had not been well, and the income had been cut to almost nothing. There were four children eagerly awaiting Christmas Day, now less than a week away. Mother's heart was burdened, for there seemed to be no prospect of even having the stockings filled, to say nothing of some small gift for each. The rural carrier came once each day, so that when the 21st of December had come and gone, and no gifts arrived, the situation looked quite hopeless indeed. Town was nearly 20 miles away, and shopping trips took up most of a day. There was not much margin left in which to do any buying, yet Mother could not give up hoping that somehow the needed help would come in time. The morning of December 22nd was one long to be remembered. The postman brought not one letter enclosing a check, but several. $5, another $5, a $10, and a $25 check. $50 to spend. My, how the pencil did fly listing the things to be purchased the next day. A good dress for big sister, cozy bathrobes for brother and little sister, and good warm play clothes for the baby brother. Some toys, oranges, nuts, hard candies, and that 5-cent surprise for the toe of each stocking. And oh yes, toy candies shaped like ships, and birds and animals and flowers without which the stockings would be a complete disappointment. A tired but very happy mother arrived home late the next afternoon, glad that she had two evenings, not just one, left in which to wrap and tag each precious package. The children were off to Sleepy Land, and the bundles could be brought in and the wrapping begun. But what is this? The bag of red and yellow toy candies was now but a bag filled with broken pieces, not even one candy having escaped. Christmas stockings without toy candies was an unthought-of thing in this household. Such a little thing, but what did it really matter when there were all the other important gifts? But children's disappointments are keen, and their memory lasts a long time. They just would not understand why the mysterious person who filled their stockings could have forgotten. Well, nothing could be done about it now. The nearest store was miles and miles away and might not have toy candies, anyhow, and the shopping trip had resulted in the need for double duty the following day. The day before Christmas was full to the brim, cleaning, cooking, planning, decorating the house with pines from the woods. Why did a bag of toy candies have to loom so important in all this? Why did they have to be broken? Why hadn't she held them in her lap to ensure their arriving home intact? Over and over, Mother told herself she was just being foolish. Perhaps the children would not mind so much after all. What is that they are saying now? A game. They were hoping someone would send them each a new game, and she had forgotten all about games in choosing toys? With a sigh, she went to answer a knock at the front door. Who would be at the front door when all the neighbors used the back one? Mr. Greenlee, superintendent of a local industry, with a basket in his hand. Good afternoon, and Merry Christmas to you and your family. We have no children at our house, so each year my wife and I distribute these baskets to homes with children. I hope yours will help to make your day a happier one. I am sure it will, Mr. Greenlee, replied Mother, and we certainly appreciate this thoughtfulness on your part. May you have real joy in your giving to make others happy. Quickly the basket was tucked out of sight until evening, with little thought as to the contents. At last the house was quieted down, and last-minute preparations for the wonderful day can be carried out. One by one the gifts are placed under the tree, which had been brought in by a neighbor lad that afternoon. Now only the stockings remain to be filled and hung on the bedposts. Perhaps they were left until last because Mother dreaded fixing them without the toy candies. It was then she recalled the basket Mr. Greenlee had brought a few hours earlier. How could she have overlooked it? She must indeed be getting tired. Here it was, lovely oranges and apples, some nuts of various kinds, a bumpy-looking bag, and four packages unmarked in any way. Mr. Greenlee had said, she now remembered, that he didn't know how many boys and how many girls were in this family, but he knew there were four, so evidently here was a gift for each. Curiosity rapidly turned to rejoicing when each little package turned out to be a game for each, as well chosen as could have been done had the donors known there were two boys and two girls at their ages. How could this be? It seemed more like a dream than a reality. But no, they were here, right under Mother's eyes. Well, what was in that funny-looking package? No, it cannot be. Toy candies, beautiful toy candies, so much larger and clearer and prettier than the ones that had been broken. What do you think Mother did then? I think she must have wept a little and laughed a little, and thanked her Heavenly Father not a little for caring about such a tiny thing as a bag of broken toy candies on Christmas Eve. And always in the years that followed, when Christian friends were tempted to doubt God's caring about the little things in their lives, things so much more important than a bag of broken candies, she would tell them of that Christmas Eve so long ago in a little mountain home where she learned the lesson of the fifth sparrow, thrown in for good measure yet not forgotten before God, and would ask the Lord to use the story to bring a blessing to the listener. Have you listened? And will you learn the lesson too?
Thanks, Val. I think that's a delightful story. And I think about the magic of Christmas Eve when I was growing up in the Depression. I'm sure that there are people listening to this program who don't have very much money, like the author of that story. And little things mean a lot when you aren't just overwhelmed with gifts. Some families are overwhelmed with gifts. Some families wonder where the gifts are going to come from. I remember how much I loved the book Little Women, and that I think it opens with a scene, doesn't it, where they're one of them says Christmas won't be Christmas without any presents. They're too poor to have presents. And during the Depression, we certainly didn't have much in the way of even decorations. We lived in what is now a slum in Philadelphia. We certainly didn't think of it as a slum there, but it was a very simple house. And I don't remember that we had any Christmas decorations at all, except one candlestick that was green with holly leaves and holly berries on it, ceramic holly leaves and berries. And we always put a red candle in that candlestick and set it in the window. And I can remember just the chill and the thrill that came over me to realize it was Christmas Eve and we could light the one Christmas candle. We had a tree, too, but we never had lights on our tree. I thought that the people who had electric lights on their trees had to be very wealthy indeed. We had on the very top of the tree a beautiful white bird with a spun glass tail, and I remember the trembling fingers and the great care with which we unwrapped the bird, and my mother always told us to be very careful, don't touch the tail because you could get glass splinters in your fingers. Val, can you think of any particular books or stories that you would recommend to children for Christmas? Do your children have the George MacDonald Christmas stories?
Yes, we often read the Christmas stories of George MacDonald. I think it's called Gifts of the Child Christ. I have several Christmas books that I get out at the beginning of December, and I leave them out on the coffee table, and the children can browse through them. There's one called A Forest Christmas. It's just a beautiful picture story of some animals in the forest getting ready for Christmas, and the lovely atmosphere of each picture is just captivating.
Do you have that sweet little story called The Best Christmas Pageant Ever?
Yes, we've read that and enjoyed that a lot.
And I know you also have a book of old Christmas carols that you play, don't you? You have that on the piano at Christmas time.
Yes, my two girls, 8 and 11, and I love to sit down and play those old Christmas carols. And we try to sing a Christmas carol each night when we have our Advent reading.
Do you have records that you play at Christmas time? King's College Chapel or anything like that?
Yes, we have the Vienna Boys Choir singing Christmas music, and we play Handel's Messiah a lot. And we have a bell choir doing Christmas songs.
We had the beautiful record of the Christmas Eve service at the King's College Chapel in Cambridge, which is just magnificent. I would recommend that to any of you who are looking for some really beautiful Christmas music. I remember the magic of hanging up the stockings. We didn't hang them up ahead of time. In fact, we didn't even have a fireplace or a mantelpiece. Well, on second thought, we did have a mantelpiece, but I don't know why it never crossed my mother's mind that you're supposed to hang stockings on mantelpieces. We always hung them on the end of our beds. But I've been into homes where the stockings are hung weeks ahead of time. Maybe that's what you do, and that's fine, but to me it was a special thrill that we had that one thing to do before we went to bed on Christmas Eve, hanging up the stockings. So any of you who are listening to us on this Christmas Eve, may the Lord give you His peace, and may tomorrow be a day when you remember that it is the celebration of the day when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.